Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to go to the book of Jonah. I've been teaching from that book on Wednesday nights. My goodness, what a story. There's so many avenues in that story to travel on. But I'm going to take one track here today and help you with God's help to understand how our perspective ought to be. We're going to talk about thanks, giving, and happiness. And Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. So no matter what you're in today, what dilemma you're in, you're not in a fish. So be thankful to God. You're out here. No matter what other kind of squeeze you feel in your life, you're not in the belly of a big fish. And he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. Now there's a clue. When you have a problem, call him. He's the one and only one that can fix this, right? And he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. Thank God he hears us. So, Father, help us today as I deliver this truth. Help us to deliver it in such a way that it meets the needs of those that are listening and hearing, that they might understand. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now watch this in Jonah 2 and 5. I sank beneath the waves. Anybody ever feel like that? And the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. Goodness, that was not a fun place to be. Verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Very important premise he lays out here. Those who regard worthless idols and all the things you may chase in life, when push comes to shove and a crisis happens, you've been pursuing the wrong thing. You need to be in pursuit of God, because all of that goes up in smoke really fast. But he said, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of what? Thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Now notice how thanks and giving go together in that sentence. He said, I'm going to offer to you what? I'm going to offer you my voice of thanksgiving and pay. That's giving. I'm giving thanks, and I'm also giving what I promised you that I would give in covenant relationship with you. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on the dry land. You need God to speak to the fish that you're dealing with? Well, there's some secrets in how to get God's attention. And you see, this boy is in a mess. I mean, he's in a mess. God instructed his prophet, Jonah, to travel to Nineveh to go preach the good news to sinners. Now, they were a part of what's modern-day Iraq. And Nineveh was located in what they now call Mosul area of Iraq. And they were of Assyrian descent. And they were constantly a thorn in the flesh to the Israelites. I mean, they would raid, they would harm, they would kill, they would pilfer. They did incredible amounts of damage all over Israel. And now God's telling his prophet, I need you to go to these people and I want you to talk to them about judgment, but also there's mercy if they'll turn and repent and ask my forgiveness. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to go. They do not deserve redemption. They deserve to die. They deserve what you want to give them, right? So Jonah, in his arrogance, tells God, I know better than you. And off he goes, and he heads in the opposite direction of where God told him to go. And because he disobeyed God, he landed in a storm while he was on board this ship, carrying him in the opposite direction to the coasts of Spain. That's where he was headed. Now listen to me. Whenever the devil sees that you are not obeying what God has challenged you to do, he will always have a ship ready to take you somewhere else. He's going to make it convenient. He's going to provide the vehicle. He's going to make it look like God just opened the door and, oh, go ahead and jump on board and watch what's going to happen to you when you sail on the wrong ship. That's exactly what happened to Jonah. He disobeyed God. Now he finds himself in a storm, and everybody around him is affected because of his bad decision. The sailors finally take him because they don't know. They've been praying to all the various gods they serve, and of course got no answers. So finally, Jonah says, I'm your problem. If you'll get rid of me, throw me overboard, you'll get to where you're going safely. But I'm the problem. So, of course, they throw him overboard, take him at his word, and they save themselves. And by the way, everybody on board the ship called on the name of Jonah's God as a result of what they just witnessed and saw all around them. So this great fish comes up that God constructed out of the deep in the middle of the storm and swallows Jonah alive. I can't even think of what a nightmare that must have been, right? Jonah is in the belly of a huge fish. And, I mean, this is a critter that is the length of a school bus that can carry about 80 passengers. It's huge. And it's called a shark, but it's not, in the sense that it doesn't use its teeth to bite and chew people. It picks up algae and microbes from the water and filters them through its system. And that's how it eats, because Jonah is alive and he's in the belly of this big fish. He's lying there with seaweed wrapped around his head. And it says here, out of the belly of hell, I cried and God heard me. He said, I was surrounded by water. Imagine trying to catch your breath and find a pocket somewhere in the belly of this fish where there's a little bit of air to breathe. You're in pitch dark. I mean, there's no light. That thing has dropped down under the waves, deep into the sea. There's acid in that fish's belly. There's water sloshing in and out. There's seaweed all around him. Darkness in the middle of it all. Guess what Jonah said? He said, God, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He said, God, if you'll just get me out of this mess, I promise I will do what you asked me to do. God has a way of getting us to become agreeable, doesn't he? I will keep my word. But right now, I thank you, you're God all by yourself. No matter what happens, you're still God. So God speaks to the fish, and the fish has to give Jonah up. And my goodness, what a sight that must have been when that fish vomits him out right on the shoreline, leading into the area where he can travel on to Nineveh and preach the message of the Lord that he had given him. And I can imagine the sunbathers that day when this fish just kind of swam up, and out of that thing, whoa, whoa, comes this guy, seaweed all around him. He's probably bleached, almost albino, from the acid that's been all over him. I mean, there were jaw drop everywhere you looked. It had to be a sight to behold. And he makes his way as fast as his legs can carry him all the way into the city of Nineveh. And let's take a look about thanksgiving and happiness and how those two go together. You know, I shared about negative despair last week, and I think it helps some people. But when you learn to be happy, there's no way for you to be sad at the same time. Happiness is learning to put on a heart of thanksgiving, even when you're in the pit of a fish. Even when you're in a pit and things aren't pleasant, they don't smell good, they don't feel good, they don't taste good. And the key here is learning to put on a thankful heart even when you're in a pit in your life, even when surrounded by hell, even when it looks like nothing is ever going to work out for you. God says, if you will give me that voice of thanksgiving, if you will praise me in the middle, he said, the thing that has a hold of you, that thing will have to let you go if your perspective is you can trust me and give thanks to me. Remember what James said? He said that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It will guide you in one direction or the other. Victory or defeat. Death, life, are in the power of the tongue. You can position yourself for victory if you put on a heart of thanksgiving right in the middle of your mess. And if you're not happy in your life, one of the very first things you need to do is check the words coming out of your mouth. Because there's your gateway right there. Because the things you say will affect your attitude and your emotions and your happiness. Unfortunately, in our world, most people today are complainers by nature. Have you noticed that? Ask your neighbor, is he talking about you? No, he better not. Okay. It's like the individual who in his mid-50s kept walking around in his church telling everybody, you know, in my family, Alzheimer's is affected just about everybody, my parents and grandparents, and I'm probably going to end up with Alzheimer's. And he just kept walking around and fretting and worrying and spewing this stuff constantly out of his mouth and never stopping the negative talk about his family and how that's going to affect him. And he was always looking for an angle in a way. How am I going to deal with this? And how is my family going to deal with this? And how am I going to get through this? And so finally, his pastor pulled him aside and said, you need to stop. You need to stop articulating that. He said, because every time you open your mouth and you talk about contracting Alzheimer's because your family members had Alzheimer's, you're calling it to yourself. You, through your words, you're bringing it right to yourself. What you ought to start saying is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No matter what the design the enemy has against me and my lineage, it's not going to happen. It's going to fail because I'm serving my God and I'm going to live and not die. Amen? But the more you complain, the worse everything gets. You can complain from now until you're blue in the face. Learn some lessons from Jonah. First, God wants you to have so much faith in him, you stop complaining and live a life of thanksgiving. The more you complain about your boss, the worse it's going to get in that environment. The more you complain about your ex, the worse it's going to get. God wants you to put on a heart of thanksgiving. Thank God if that person did you wrong and harmed you and has left you kind of by the side of the road, thank God they're not in your life right now. Thank the Lord for peace. Thank the Lord that you can continue going forward and standing in his strength. The people of America, we celebrate a day we call Thanksgiving. I hope you're getting ready for it. And thanks to some of you who've already brought in turkeys to help other families in our church. We appreciate that. We take this one day and we celebrate the things we are grateful and thankful for. But for believers in Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving is to be a way of life. Not one day of the year. It's to be a way of life. Now, you know that a number of states have put restrictions, suggested restrictions on what you can and can't do for Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I just kind of looked at that and said, yeah. So I like what one guy wrote. He said, since 6 people are allowed for Thanksgiving, but 30 are allowed for a funeral, so I'm going to hold a funeral for my pet turkey. That will pass away on November 26th. And refreshments will be provided for the 30 who show up. So I said, yeah, that's the right perspective, isn't it? And we ought to be thankful people and celebrate the goodness of God, right? Not this is not something we do one day a year, but every single day, thanksgiving. Paul knew how easy it would be for people to forget their blessings. So he constantly reminds us to be thankful no matter what we're going through. Before you gave your life to Jesus, you probably weren't thankful for a whole lot. You took everything for granted. You've become like much in the culture, spoiled brats. But now that you belong to Jesus, God expects us to have hearts of thanksgiving. Well, what does that mean? That means that we need to speak out those words of thanksgiving. Amen? Slip that on as a new garment of praise. You don't have to feel it to do it. You have to be motivated by God's truth to do it because of his faithfulness in your life. The word says that those who are righteous, those who love the Lord, they walk by faith, not by sight. Thanksgiving is walking by faith, not by sight. When you're thankful in the middle of the pit, you're walking by faith, not by sight. When you're thankful in the midst of hell's onslaught, what you're really saying is, Father, I'm walking by faith and trusting you, not by what I'm looking at and seeing. Paul put it like this, in everything, give thanks. Not for what's happening around you, but in everything because God's still God. So when you're walking by faith, you know that God is going to work everything out. He always does. You might be going through it in a way that makes you feel bad or your feelings, and you don't wonder, and how's this going to turn out? And you go through a bad time. Somehow, some way, God always works it out, even when it's especially at the last minute. He loves doing that. Say, God's going to work it out. The sin nature is very self-centered. I mean, totally self-centered. And I'm a student of people. I've spent decades watching people. And sometimes I'll just stand back and watch behaviors. When I'm teaching cadets in the Civil Air Patrol or airmen related to core values, we talk about integrity, how important that is, something that ought to be taught in homes as well as church. Integrity, doing the right thing, even if nobody else wants to, you do the right thing. Excellence, not the attitude of that's good enough. You know, it's good enough for the government, so that's all they require, that's all I'm going to do. No, excellence, meaning when I'm done, it's going to be done to the best of my ability, not just slipshod, get through it. And then, of course, respect, respecting other people, and respecting the fact that no matter who they are, where they come from, that they're human beings and God loves them. And we need to show respect for one another. And of course, volunteer service, jumping in and serving wherever the expectation is, because it's a part of our character to do that. And it was believers and followers of the Lord. And I'm looking at that, and I went over to the pumpkin farm and I was watching the little kids. And I stood back for a minute because there's a game they get to play where you can go find marbles in the streams, you know. And they're supposed to have a limit as to how many marbles they can get. And then, of course, you see some of these kids filling their pockets, nobody keeping them in check as their parents, nobody paying attention. But really what disturbed me, I think, the most in the culture was watching parents, particularly dads, showing their children how to push other children out of the way so they could take their spot to get marbles out of the stream. Instead of dads like my son showing the kids that you wait your turn and you respect the others who already have a position until they're done, watching parents teach their kids how to be more self-centered than they're already born with. That's a very dangerous thing, because that old nature of ours, out of control, is capable of anything. Now that you love Jesus, you have a new nature in you. And part of that is an attitude of thanksgiving, right? So no matter who you are, you have more to be thankful for than what you know. Be thankful you're breathing. Be thankful you got up. Be thankful your senses are all at work, right? Because you could be sick today. There are a lot of people home today because they're not feeling well. God be with them in full recovery. You could be sleeping under a bridge right now because you're homeless. You could be in a hospital. You could be in jail because some of you know you've done some stuff that you deserve to get stuck there, right? Lazarus was dead for 4 days. I mean dead, good and dead. Lazarus was stinking dead, and Jesus walked into the cemetery, and he said, "Father, I thank you. I don't know what is dead in your life, but you have to start here. Father, I thank you." There's something about a heart of thanksgiving that increases your faith that there's a God who's greater than the circumstance you face, because faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. So when you put on a heart of thanksgiving, you're hearing that with your own ears. You're speaking it out of your mouth, then you're putting on a heart of thanksgiving, and your faith can then grow because you're hearing it yourself. Your faith grows into whatever you're speaking about. If you're negative, it grows. It takes faith to be thankful when everything seems to be falling apart. Anyone can be thankful when you already received what you've been believing for. Anyone can be thankful when you just got a raise. Anyone can be thankful when everything's already worked itself out. That's called gratitude. What God's looking for is somebody who's thankful in the middle of hell. Thankful, thanking God in advance, that's demonstrating faith. That's saying to God, I still believe you. And be reminded, God takes it personally when we murmur and complain. Because that attitude says, I don't have trust and faith that he's good at governing the affairs of my life. In fact, God calls your murmuring and complaining an evil report. Not just a negative report. He says it's evil. God says complaining and doubt and unbelief will prevent you from receiving his blessings. The key to seeing God work in your heart, put on a heart of gratitude. You don't have to feel thankful to be thankful. Being thankful is nothing more than an act of obedience. It's an act of faith. I'm doing what God expects me to do. And when we are obedient, it causes God to move in our direction. Ask Jonah. You may not be able to change the situation that you're in immediately, but when you put on a heart of thanksgiving, it gives you the strength to get through it. Thanksgiving changes your attitude. And even if nothing changes in your life, if your attitude changes, that's the most important thing you need. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Don't magnify your problems. Magnify the Lord. And if you want to know how to get through the mess that you're in, quit talking about the mess and magnify the Lord. Don't magnify your problems by speaking about how bad you have it, what all you're having to go through. Talk about the goodness of the Lord. And if you put on a heart of thanksgiving, it increases your faith. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So whatever you speak about increases. If you hate your job, you hate where you work, keep talking like that because you're going to get worse and worse and worse. And even in a bad situation, start talking about how big God is, that he's greatly to be praised. And all of a sudden, he begins to get bigger and larger and greater than your circumstance, because whatever you talk about grows. Whatever you speak about increases. When you complain to the Lord about what he isn't doing for you right now, he will not do one more thing for you until you're thankful for what he's already have been doing for you and has done for you. Put on a heart of thanksgiving. That demonstrates having faith in the Lord, because it's not normal to say, thank you, Jesus, when the money's run out of the account. That's not normal to be thankful. It's not normal to be thankful when your kids start going crazy. It's not normal to have a heart of thanksgiving when PG&E bill is so high, you wonder, how am I going to pay this? Jonah said, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay my vows to you. I will keep my promises no matter my circumstance. It's not normal to be thankful when you're in a pit. How can you expect God to move in your life when you can't even be thankful for what he did for you last week? You can wander in the wilderness if you choose to, but I've decided I'm going to put on a heart of thanksgiving and exit my wilderness. The words you speak determine whether God moves on your behalf or not. Great lesson from Jonah. Whether you stay in the wilderness or you escape the wilderness. Jesus said you're justified or condemned by your own words. You can turn a defeated situation around if you enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You will turn your attitude around if you'll give him thanks right in the middle of your trial. Happiness will return in your life when you quit complaining and murmuring and be thankful for what God has done. Now, second, if you're a believer, God takes your grumbling and complaining personally. He calls it unbelief. And he says, you're not going to enter into the promised land until that attitude changes. You want to write that down somewhere. If you're grumbling and complaining, you can't enter your promised land until you change. Your promised land is whatever you're believing God for. It's not the acreage over in Israel. Your promised land is your place of victory, of healing, of peace, of financial stability, of relational tranquility. You can't enter your promised land until you change the things you're saying. God did not appreciate the mouthing off that those people constantly did to their leadership and to him. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to make some changes in my life. Paul said to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, say it, let your requests be made known to God. With what? Thanksgiving. And don't worry about it. Pray about it. Earnestly seek God about it with a thankful spirit, opening your mouth with thanksgiving. Stop worrying, but pray with thanksgiving. Worry will steal your thanksgiving. Paul said, don't worry. He said, get your cares cast on the Lord. Let God assist you with this issue. But if you allow worry to start eating away at your peace and at your tranquility and at your joy, listen, it will steal your gratitude. Be anxious for nothing. Heaven's gates will be closed to us as long as all we do is complain. That's why you can't wait longer to make some very important changes. You can't walk out of here the same and expect anything to change. We have to put on hearts of thanksgiving. We have to close the door on the devil in our lives. When we talk negatively and we complain, we open the door for the enemy to walk in and steal everything we have. All God wants us to do is to trust him and obey him. And what he tells us to do is put on a heart of thanksgiving and give that voice of thanksgiving while we're still in the pit. He's looking for someone who has faith that he can bless and say, you know, I'll deliver you out of the pit because you showed me gratitude and you showed me faith and you showed that no matter what was happening to you, you were still going to trust me. A heart of thanksgiving says, Father, I have faith in you and I am thankful for who you are. Even if I don't have everything I want, I'm putting on a heart of thanksgiving. Third, thank God for all he's done in your life, then watch him move. How many know there are many things we can complain about if we look for them, right? Yeah, it's a choice. I can choose to be a complainer or choose to be thankful. Situations that can leave us bitter will cause us to complain. Things that we can criticize because we see imperfection. People, wow, they're a trip, aren't they? And you can develop a critical spirit. And you can if you want to, but I need an audience with my Father. I need an audience with him. I need too many miracles from him. I need to get out of my wilderness and into my promised land. So I'm choosing to put on a heart of thanksgiving no matter where I find myself. You can complain about your job all day, but I'd be grateful if I could work, right? And no matter if your job seems redundant, be faithful, work hard. God will bless the work of your hands, and somehow, some way, God will bless you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you stand at a crossroads when you're ready to make a decision and then make a statement about it. Listen, you're at that crossroads. Some words you speak will bring blessing. Some words you speak are going to bring a curse. You're at that crossroads. You get to determine the direction. So the next time you're tempted to complain, God tells you, find something to be thankful for. Thank him you have one more day to serve him. Thank him you're healthy today. Thank him for your church. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what did he do? First thing he did was he gave thanks to the Father. What's the point? If you will learn to give thanks in the middle of having just a little bit, he will multiply the little that you have. Jesus only had 5 loaves and 2 fish, but he said, Father, I thank you. And that thanksgiving caused multiplication so he could feed over 5,000 people. There's an important principle for all of us right there. You can complain. You have to ride the transit somewhere. But Father wants you to be thankful you have two legs to get up on the bus with. Tell somebody, quit complaining. Come on, tell them. If you would be happy in your life, stop your complaining, change the words of your mouth. And some people have lost everything they own. That's hard. That crushes you. Fires took away everything except the clothes on their backs. One of our pastors lost everything. Nothing. Thankfully, we were able to help as a church and then along with Convoy do some things to make a difference. But listen, there's pain when that happens. Perhaps someone has taken advantage of you and done you harm. If you begin bragging on God, he'll restore everything because he's the God who restores, the God of restoration. You can be ungrateful for the apartment you're living in. But I know people in India who would be very grateful for your apartment. You can be ungrateful for your spouse, but there is someone who would be very grateful to have your spouse. Another thing, quit complaining all the time about the government. Before you criticize, remember, thank God you were born in America, not somewhere else. As crazy as it's been for the last 9 months in this country, I'm still grateful I'm born an American. Amen? In a place where at least I know I'm free. Amen? Say, I am thankful. You ought to be grateful every day you were born an American. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, some ought to be in prison for some of the stuff you've done. But you're here in church. Be thankful. You're still here. You took a licking, but you're still ticking. You're still standing. Everything around you's collapsed, but you're still standing. I'm still here. Thank God I'm still here. So if you want the windows of heaven to open in your life, you have to have a thankful heart. And along with gratitude comes a spirit of generosity and giving, thanksgiving. I want the windows of heaven open over my head. And if I'm going to get God's attention, I'm going to start by being thankful. And I'm going to also start by making sacrifice to him, like Jonah said he was ready to do. You have to be thankful. Instead of talking about failures, talk about the victories. Instead of talking about everything that was taken from you, thank God for what you still have left. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Nothing but ashes around me, but I will encourage myself in the Lord. You can murmur and complain if you choose to, but all you're going to do is wander around in the wilderness for the rest of your life. Because as long as we complain, we get to stay right where we are. We don't go forward. We stay right where we are, stuck. Even if we're going through hell or high water, say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me from drug habit. Thank you for delivering me from my past. Thank you for getting me out of darkness I was involved in. I might have been in a pit. I may have received a bad report, but thank you. You're still God in my life. So what are you grateful for today? Are you grateful? I've got many things to be thankful for. I'm grateful for the way the people of Calvary Christian Center love Jesus. I'm grateful for the family here. Grateful for our family. White and black and brown and yellow. Thank you, Lord. And listen, folks, we're not identified by the color of our skin. We're identifiable by the content of who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what heaven's going to look like. It's a matter of our heart's posture toward the Lord. I thank God for the way we love one another, regardless of cultural background or where people have come from. I'm thankful for people being generous who give not only their tithe and pay their tithe, but bring in gifts because they know in this stretch there are people who have moved away from the community. They're gone. They've left their church family. They've left their state. They've left a lot behind. They've taken, their families with them and their contributions with them. There are those that are staying home, and some have the mentality, if I don't physically go to the building, then I'm not obligated to support the work of the Lord. Not sure where you can find the Bible passage for that, but there are people who are doing that, and they're not supporting God's work. So, you know, thank God in the middle of all this turmoil we're going through, and we're very blessed in the sense that God's continued to help us, because there are some generous people that go beyond not only their tithe, but they bring an offering and they make up the difference and help us to get through the battles that we're fighting. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful for that. Many here are learning to tithe, and others are learning how to give beyond the tithe. Those are pledges we make towards Speed the Light vehicle that we're planning on purchasing by the end of the year, and for BGMC, for missionaries that come our way. We're quick to give, quick to meet the needs of the church. Many give out of faith. I thank God for the way that we can trust Him. And He always finds a mechanism by which He comes through. Fourth, some people are angry at God for the things that they don't have. But the faith, by faith, you look ahead and you say, your best days are still ahead. Amen? Our best days are still ahead. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe your family's been split apart. But be thankful God has given you a wonderful church family. Amen? You can be thankful God gives you a new beginning in your life. You can connect with other people who are going through things that you've gone through. If you're a single mom, we have ministries for those who are trying to raise children alone. Listen, that's what church family's about. Thank God for that. You may not have a chicken in the pot, but at least you've got some bologna in the refrigerator, right? Be thankful. You may not have any bologna, but you got a can of Spam somewhere in the pantry. And don't you just love some fried Spam once in a while, right? I'm hearing some Vietnam veterans. Anyway, God tells us to pray about everything with thanksgiving. Pray over the big things with thanksgiving. Pray over little things with thanksgiving. Pray over the in-between things with thanksgiving. If you're not happy, check your words. Because happiness isn't determined by how much money you have in the bank. Happiness doesn't depend on everything going well in your life. Happiness is an attitude. And you must be willing to make some changes and change the things you're saying. I've seen people healed simply by putting on a heart of thanksgiving. They got into an environment where they did nothing but give praise and thanks to God, and it released the natural blessings that God's built into our human bodies to help us heal and be well and be strong. I've watched that happen just in the change of attitudes. I'll never forget an evangelist. That was probably a 10-year-old boy. Gordon Lindsay, who came to our church, and he was praying for the sick on the platform. And this lady was brought up. She was pretty ill and suffering with crippling arthritis and not a happy lady, had a hard time walking. And others were being healed and blessed, and we're thankful to watch the miracles. And I sat, I didn't miss a beat, man. I'd sit there with my eyes just wide open. Because every time you turned around, God was doing something fantastic, right? And so I acquired a taste and learned that people who are grateful and people who have learned how to be forgiving, God responds to that. So this lady gets up to Gordon and he looks at her and says a couple of things to her. And then he looked at her and he said, I discern by the Holy Spirit that your illness is related to this bitterness and unforgiveness you've got in your spirit. And God's not going to heal you until you let go of the bitterness and unforgiveness. And God's not going to heal you until your attitude changes and you have a heart of thanksgiving. You talk about a wake-up. I got everybody's attention that night. It filled everybody's hearts with an understanding that God responds to gratefulness. And He responds to hearts that are generous. He doesn't respond to belly aching and whining and complaining all the time. Amen? Happiness is an attitude. I've seen worries fly out the window when people just said, Lord, I thank you. Giving up the whining and the complaining, putting on a heart of thanksgiving, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and watch God go to work in your life. We're not thankful for our trouble, but we put on a heart of thanksgiving in spite of our trouble. Well, Pastor, I hate my job. I hate it. Be careful what you're saying. Put on a heart of thanksgiving and trust him no matter where you are. Be thankful you have a job. No matter how hard I try, I just can't get ahead. Ever say that to yourself? Come on, how many honest people do we have? No matter how hard I try, I just can't get ahead. You need to begin confessing, my God is meeting all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is teaching me how to profit even from my pain and my circumstances. Listen, this check might not be everything I want, but my needs are being met because now I have enough to take care of my family. Listen, give no place to the devil. Change the words you're speaking. Complainers get to circle in the wilderness. Negative talking brings negative results. And all negative talk does is glorify the devil. The next time you're tempted to complain, don't give life to your misery by talking about your problems. Confess your thankfulness to God. Watch God show up because miracles are released when you are thankful. Your next miracle will come when you have a heart of thanksgiving. An angel appeared as we get toward the Christmas season to the priest Zacharias in the temple. He's married to Elizabeth. And the angel of the Lord said to Zacharias, you're going to have a son. Well, Zacharias had a hard time with this, right? Because while they had believed God for a child for years, they passed the point of child production in their lives. And looking at it naturally, he opened his mouth and said, how's that going to happen? I don't see how in the world that's going to come to pass. Well, that's not a good way to talk to a voice from God into your life. Just not a really good way to respond. So he began to express doubt and unbelief. So the angel of the Lord shut his mouth, said, you're not going to say another word until that son of yours is born. And you're going to call him John. You won't be naming him after yourself. You're going to call him John. He'll be John the Baptist. And the angel of the Lord shut Zechariah's mouth until his son was born. And when his son was born, he still couldn't speak. He had to write out everything he wanted to communicate. And when they asked him, what are you going to name him? He's trying to form the words and trying to, should I write down my name? And then he remembered, no, the last time I didn't do what the angel told me, I couldn't talk for 9 months. So this time, John. And he got to speak again when he confessed what God had told him for the first time. Amen? Because the angel knows the power of our words. He said, I have to shut your mouth, Zacharias, before you stop what God wants to do by your negative speech. We can prevent what God wants to do in our lives. So be careful what you're saying, because we can stop God's plan. Negative confessions can prevent the work of God. He's got something lined up for every one of us in destiny and purpose, but negative talk stops it from coming to pass. Number five, Jesus said we'll be justified or condemned by our words. This is his statement. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Did that sober you? It'll get everybody's attention. So in other words, he's got a recording of all this? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He sure does. Yikes. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Whoops. It's in your words. can send you to either hell or to heaven. Your words can condemn you or set you free. What are you confessing? Get this matter of gratefulness settled. Because if something negative begins to come out of your mouth, catch your mouth and rewind. I repent. And change that confession. The children of Israel were negative, and they would not stop and change what they were saying. Because of what they continued to say time and again, they never made any progress. Now, God still loved them and met their needs every single day, but they never crossed into the promised land. That will be your story if we don't stop the negative speech. If you need healing, quit saying, I don't know if God can heal me. Start saying, He is my healer. He bore my sicknesses. He carried away my diseases. By His stripes I am healed. Well, you don't look healed. I don't have to look healed. He said, I am healed. Thank Him, He's already worked it out. Thank Him, He's bigger than the situation. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. What does that mean? When you complain, you're going to get to eat what you've said. When you put on a heart of thanksgiving, you're going to get to eat what you've said. Your whole attitude will change when you change your words. The enemy loves it when you complain because you're always just going to get what you say. Satan loves it when you murmur because, listen, he doesn't have to plan your destruction. You will self-destruct. The children of Israel missed their destiny because of their constant murmur against the Lord, because they were ungrateful for the blessings of God. They continued to wander and wander. Don't wait until God moves to be thankful. Be thankful now. I said, be thankful now. Are you grateful now? Listen, and if it pleases God when you put on a grateful heart, shouldn't that be what we're doing? Look at your valley of dry bones and say, you will live. It looks impossible in the natural, but sometimes you prophesy over the dry bones. You will live. God says in the midst of the test, be grateful. The reason God wasn't pleased with Israel, they constantly had something they didn't like about life. If we're ungrateful, God's not going to be moving on our behalf. You're in a test. There's pain in a test. It doesn't look good. It's not working out the way you hoped or as fast as you wanted it to. What will you do in the test? We've been in a test. You can go back and check the record. From day one back in March, I said to this congregation, this is a test. It's either pass or fail, and there really isn't going to be anything in between. We're either going to pass this test or we're going to fail this test. And a lot of it's going to have to do with our an attitude adjustment that we have to have. We're in pain over some things. We're stressed over some things. You can change your attitude when you begin to say, the Lord has sure been good to me. In spite of everything I've gone through, the Lord has been good to me. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. When Saul's trying to kill me, when I'm having to live out in a cave, when I'm supposed to be the king of Israel, and I'm not even close to Jerusalem, God, I still bless you at all times. His praise shall continually be in my what? In my mouth. What you're going to hear coming out of me is thanksgiving to you. So when you put on a heart of thanksgiving, you don't have to worry about binding the devil and binding that other devil. Thankfulness by itself will war against devils and strongholds. When you are grateful, this is what the devil has to do around you. Plug his ears, because when he hears you thanking God and praising God, like Job in the middle of trial and trauma and difficulty, he's still blessing the Lord. Listen, that causes the devil to screech. The warfare is being able to say what God's word says and quit texting your friends and complaining about life. It's getting worse. It's not better. You need to close your mouth, slap yourself, and confess His word. Amen? Confess His word. I was thinking about that, looking at 2 Chronicles. You remember when Solomon dedicated the temple? And after all the week-long explosiveness of praise and worship and sacrifices that were being made and the ornateness of this facility, in our dollars today would exceed $1 billion in cost to put that facility up. I mean, it was incredible. It was the gem of the Middle East. And when it was all said and done, God's Spirit filled the temple. He said, I will occupy here. The priest couldn't even stand up to minister. It was awesome. And then it got quiet and everybody started going home. And Solomon is alone and he's meditating on all God's done. And God has a conversation with him and reminds him, when the crops begin to fail and the heavens no longer water, when things start turning in ways that show my displeasure, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, if you'll come here and you will seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, and that's going to happen when you start leaving me and turning in the wrong direction. Well, another great king in Israel by the name of Jehoshaphat is now facing a similar circumstance. And he goes before God and he reminds him, you said if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, that if we stand here before this temple in your presence, for your name is here in his temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, you will hear us and save us. And now he said, look around, Father. The armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir are triangulating against us to come and destroy us. And then he goes on and he says, listen, all you of Judah. And there's God's responding to his prayer and his cry and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And to you, King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says this to you. Do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Perspective, isn't it? So then the king did what God asked him to do. He didn't have time to call up the Pentagon and order up some brand new fighter jets to do a strafing run on the enemy that was coming in. He didn't have time to ask for drones to go overhead and hellfire missiles to be launched. But here's what he did release on them. The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And at that very moment, they begin to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. As far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder, it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. And it's still called the Valley of Blessing to this day. Thank you, Lord, because their attitude was, we're going to praise him anyhow. Everything is closing in on us, but we're calling on you with hearts of gratitude. So number six, stop complaining, put on a heart of thanksgiving, and begin talking about the goodness of the Lord. Say with me, the Lord has been good to me. Like you mean it. Like you really mean it. Say it to your neighbor. The Lord has been good to me. Yeah, he has. Quit talking about the things you don't have and thank God for the things you do have. You might have a financial burden right now, but listen, you're going back to the school of the Holy Spirit, and God will use those actions to make everything better in your life when your attitude and your actions line up. Put on a heart of thanksgiving. Listen, if you're used to getting everything you want, because that's the way your parents allowed you to be raised, you're rarely thankful. fact, you become a complainer. If you're spoiled, you take everything for granted. That's what's dangerous about just giving everything away. And the government's attitude toward this going forward. Do not be a part of the end time church that's ungrateful and unthankful for the goodness of God. Jonah would not obey the word of the Lord. He landed in the belly of a great fish. I can't wait to watch that story when he replays all that. And I know in my heart of hearts, we're going to be able to ask him, would you please show me that? And Jonah, you can do the commentary. Would you take the mic and tell us step by step how this looked to you when all this started happening? Because I want to hear it from the one who went through it, right? Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't like those people. They don't deserve to be forgiven. But of course, when Jonah finally went to Nineveh and did what God asked him to do, everybody in the city got saved. Everybody. There wasn't one who had not repented. There was a revival in that town like there had never been a revival in all of the recorded word of God. Imagine having a meeting where the whole town shows up and they all get saved at once. And this was a very prosperous city, a well-to-do city. There were hundreds of thousands of people occupying that area. And even the cows got saved. They put sackcloth and ashes on their cows. The king got saved. Everybody bowed before the Lord God of Jonah and said, that's the God we're going to serve. Forgive us. And God relented and took judgment away from them because God loves to show mercy. He loves to show mercy. What does that mean to us? Disobedience will land you in the pits every time. When he said, Lord, I will pay my vow. I will do what you asked me to do this, and I refuse to do it, and I won't do it. I've been stubborn about it. I'm going to do what you ask. I'm going to bring my tithe to your house. I will give you thanksgiving in the middle of my mess. The thing that had a hold of Jonah had to let him go when he finally showed the Lord an attitude of gratitude. Whatever has hold of you, if you'll put on a heart of thanksgiving, whatever's holding you has to let go. How many want that kind of breakout where you get out of the pit? Amen? No matter what you're going through, begin to give him praise. Praise him at all times. And the thing that has you held in bondage, it will have to let you go. There's something about thanksgiving that brings deliverance. I would have loved to have seen the look on the faces of the leaders of those three armies that had traveled all that distance to destroy Israel. And all of a sudden, coming through the valley between the mountain peaks, come a bunch of singers in literal robes. The scripture says they put on robes and they went out singing in the valley, reverberating all over the place. And they're looking at, they don't have a spear, they don't have a shield. What they're doing is they're making a joyful noise to the Lord and being thankful unto him and giving praise to him for the divine protection he's going to afford them. And God did everything they said about him. He delivered them out of the hand of their adversary. There's something about thanksgiving that gets God's attention. So you're waiting for God to act for you because you want relief. God's waiting for you to put on a heart of thanksgiving so he can send you what you're asking for. Amen? When you show him, I still love you, I'm still serving you, I'm not going to quit, no matter what happens, you're still my God. With that, stand to your feet and let's give God a great big round of thanksgiving in this room. Come on. Let's give him thanks. Let's praise him. Let's honor him. Let's love him because he is good and his mercy endures to all generations. I'd love to hear that worship team one day in heaven. Would you kind of bring back that oldie? It'd be better than the Gaithers program, you know, that they have on all the time. They're selling you DVDs and CDs and all that good stuff. But I want to hear these guys. and gals. I want to see, would you sing that song the way you sang it out in the valley when the three armies just absolutely devastated each other? What in the world kind of an anointing was on you guys when you were singing that song, right? I mean, all of heaven came down, brought confusion into the midst of the enemy's camps. If you want the enemy to get good and confused, start giving thanks to God. Start praising the Lord. So if you're in a circumstance right now, why don't you take a moment and begin to say, I offer you thanksgiving in spite of it, Lord, because you're still God. Do it right now. Do it right now, because that's the God we serve. And he'll do for you what he did for Jonah, what he did for Jehoshaphat, what he's done for his people, like Paul and Silas in the bottom of a dungeon. And what were they doing at midnight? Bleeding from the beating they had taken. What were they doing? They were offering God praise and thanksgiving in the middle of their pain. And what did God do? Shook the prison that held them. And there was a jailbreak. And all the prisoners got loosed. Thank you, Jesus. Because when we praise him in spite of, he's still faithful to help us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. So while we're here today, we're taking a moment and we're praising God no matter what we're facing and circumstances we have. If you're in the room, eyes are closed. If you're at home, the same. This is where it all starts, with forgiveness and repentance and a willingness to say to the Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I've offended you. I need you to forgive me. You're a good father. You're merciful. You're willing to say, I'll extend to you forgiveness. And he will, if you're here in the room or you're at home. So if you're here today in the room and you need that forgiveness and that moment of restoration and a new life to begin, lift your hand if that's you, anywhere in the room. If you're at home, do the same. And lift your hand and say, Lord, forgive me. In fact, let's pray together and ask God to help us with the matter of forgiveness. Say, Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I was lost. I had no hope of heaven. But you're offering me forgiveness. You sent your son, Jesus, to die on my behalf. He was crucified, but he rose from the dead. Now he's my Savior. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. Give me a brand new start. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer here or at home, please connect with us. You can do that on our website, connecting with us in our main office during the week. It's good to know that people's lives are being changed. Amen? It's good to know that. For those of you that have been watching at home, I want to lift my hand in your direction. I hope you'll lift your hand as well, right there while you're watching. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.